Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 13, Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities, Text 34.
Adastanaralokasya Yavatiryatanadaya Kramasa samanukramya Punaratra vrajit shuchi Adastat
from below.
Naralokasya
human birth.
Yavati
as many.
Yatana
punishments.
Adaya
and so on.
Kramashaha
in a regular order.
Samanukramya,
having gone through.
Puna,
again.
Atra,
here on this earth.
Avrajit,
he may return.
Shuchi,
pure. Having gone through all the miserable hellish conditions and having passed in a regular order through the lowest forms of animal life prior to human birth, and having thus been purged of his sins, one is reborn again as a human being on this earth. Purport. Just as a prisoner who has undergone troublesome prison life is set free again, the person who is always engaged in impious and mischievous activities is put into hellish conditions, and when he has undergone different hellish lives, namely those of lower animal life, like cats and dogs, by the gradual process of evolution, he again comes back as a human being. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated that even though a person engaged in the practice of the yoga system may not finish perfectly and may fall down for some reason or other, his next life as a human being is guaranteed. It is stated that such a person who has fallen from the path of yoga practice is given a chance in his next life to take birth in a very rich family or in a very pious family. It is interpreted that rich family refers to a big mercantile family because generally people who engage in trades and mercantile and business are very rich. One who engaged in the process of self-realization or connecting with the Supreme Absolute Truth but fell short is allowed to take birth in such a rich family, and he's allowed to take birth in the family of pious brahmanas. Or he's allowed. Either way, he is guaranteed to appear in human society in his next life. It can be concluded if someone is not willing to enter into hellish life, as is in Tamisra or Andhatamisra, then he must take to the process of Krishna consciousness, which is the first class yoga system, because even if one is unable to attain complete Krishna consciousness in this life, he is guaranteed at least to take his next birth in a human family. He cannot be sent into hellish condition. Krishna consciousness is the purest life, and it protects all human beings from gliding down to hell to take birth in a family of dogs or hogs. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the third canto, 30th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description by Lord Kapila of Adverse Fruitive Activities. So it is said that the chanting of the holy name is very powerful, and it can deliver one from all sinful reactions. One of the side benefits of the holy name is that it can liberate from all the impediments of bad karma. Furthermore, it can offer us freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Still, Haridas Thakur mentioned that such effects of the holy name are only secondary. Rather, the ultimate goal of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is to attain love of God. Prema Pumarta Mahan. So, in that way, we also find that when Srila Prabhupada describes that if we wish to avoid a hellish situation, then we must take to devotional service. Because at least a devotee that is not successful will attain his birth either in a rich mercantile family or in a family of brahmanas. It is mentioned at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee falls down from spiritual life after only a short time, that he takes his birth in such a mercantile family. Whereas if a devotee after a prolonged time will fall down, he'll take his birth in a Brahmana family or in a family of great Vaishnavas. So, in this way, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, that according to the state of consciousness that one develops, that will determine the next birth. Karmana daivane trena jantu dehu papataye, that we will be placed in a particular body by divine arrangement, which will be according to our karma. The essence is to chant the holy name of the Lord, because through that process we can not only uplift ourselves from suffering condition, which of course is desirable, because who wants to suffer? But we can go beyond, and we can come to the point of becoming totally absorbed in the transcendental reality. Totally absorbed on the spiritual platform, where all the pleasures and pains of this world have become insignificant and are really none other than the shadow reflection of the original thing. And what is the shadow reflection? The material enjoyment is merely the shadow. So how can the shadow truly be enjoyed? The shadow of a beautiful form in this world only offers us the black contours, nothing more. It doesn't offer us all the varieties of color, all the varieties of touch, all the varieties that are experienced with the original form, cannot be experienced with the shadow. So therefore, trying to enjoy the material body and being attached to enjoying the material body is the biggest mistake that any living entity can make. The process of Krishna consciousness deals with this mistake. It gives us the opportunity to gradually free ourselves from this mistaken mentality, because sometimes we are so habituated to act according to this mistake. Then we speak of devotional service in the conditioned state. Conditioned state means a mistaken orientation of life, that we are actually living by a misconception, that we are actually thinking that it is my dog, it is my cat that will make me happy. It is my love for all my family members. There is someone in this world for me who will surely understand me, who will surely love me, and I will love that person too. All these kind of thoughts are mistakes. It never works. It cannot work. It is not meant to work. It is only meant for frustration. Love affairs have been designed to make us totally frustrated. And these love affairs are presented to us in different forms in the world. There is the Amsterdam style. There is the Spanish style, or as I was talking with a devotee last night, there is the style of Rio de Janeiro, right? But whatever may be, Copacabana or anything, it's all just another flavor of the same mistake. There may be mistake with chocolate sauce or mistake with strawberry flavor, but basically mistake is mistake. The material world is never going to work. It's not meant to work. It's never meant to be successful, right? Material life. There is no such thing. We hope against hope that it will happen, and it will not happen, right? That is, who can say that it has worked, right? I don't think there's anyone in the world who can say it has worked, right? This is the statement of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that everyone will be baffled in the material world. Or as stated in Bhagavatam, parabhavastavat abhudajato, which means that defeat, defeat is the fundamental constitutional position of the living entity in the material world. There is always defeat unless one is with Krishna. Yatra yogeshwara Krishna tatasir vijayo bhutir dhruvanitir matir mama, that along with Krishna only will there be victory. Otherwise, no, there will be no victory. So, what to do? We cannot attain our victory in the material world without the mercy of Krishna. So let us somehow or other dedicate ourselves to cultivating transcendental knowledge. Because that transcendental knowledge will at least give us the intelligence by which we can conquer our conditioned nature. Otherwise, we may desire to just be ordinary people. But we are not people in the first place. That's the first mistake. We are not at all human. Who thought we were people? Right? And it starts there. Yeah. That's where the mistake is made. And we change. Here in the purport, in the verse, it is described how we can go through the lower forms of animal life and then come back up to the human form of life. So all these things are not relevant to us. Our true identity is so different. A beautiful, effulgent spiritual body. In various colors. It may be a golden color. It may be bluish, greenish, yellowish. There may be so many colors in the spiritual sky that we do not know here in this world of reflection. The material body is always afflicted by some suffering, whatever it may be. Today, my voice is affected by the cold that I had yesterday, my head is painful, and I'm sure everyone's got something. Everyone's got something. This is the nature of the body. And if it's not the body that causes us disturbance, it's the mind that causes us disturbance. And if it's not our mind that causes us disturbance, it's the mind of somebody else that causes us disturbance. But the disturbance is going to be there, for sure. Right? The weather will definitely cause us disturbance. So, like that, what can we do in the material world? It is our constitutional position to be disturbed. That's what actually it's all about, right? And we can hang a sign on our door, "Don't disturb." I also tried it, right? I also tried, you know. I got one for my birthday a few years ago, you know. It was a pretty good gift. Someone gave me a "please don't disturb" sign for my birthday. So, okay, I hung it on the door, you know. Of course, you know, nobody really cares. Nobody cares at all, you know. In fact, they are determined to disturb you as much as possible. Any way that they can think. And even if someone thinks, "All right, you know, I will not disturb," right? Someone else will make up for it. It's like designed to disturb us. Right? If you would hire a professional designer to design an arrangement which is like particularly designed to disturb us, right? You couldn't do a better job than having the material world. It's really designed totally expertly. It works every time in all directions, wherever you go, right? It is like that. This is the world that is meant to disturb us. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi upadruta. It is said that this is the nature of the age of Kali. Kalavasme Yugi Jana. Now I have to think of the first line, or ask Madhu Gopal to look it up. Prayen Alpa Yusa Sabya. I think that's it. Prayen Alpa Yusa Sabya Kalavasme Yuge Janaha. Mandusumandamatiyo Mandabakiyo Upadruta. I think I'm there. Prayen Alpa Yusa. So, our duration of life, very, very short. Ayurveda is the Veda that deals with long life. Prayen Alpa Yusa. Practically always a short life. Alpa Yusa. Right? Alpa Ayusa. Short life. Mandasumandamatiyo. Less intelligent. Lazy. Finally, Upadruta. Always disturbed. This is our position. Always disturbed. So what to do? It is truly in Kali Yuga increased. Right? If there's any happiness in the material world, it's going to be hard to find in the age of Kali. And even in the Satya Yuga, process involves tapasya. We see that the various sages were all following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and performing tapasya, because after Brahma had created the universe, in the process he also had to create the influence of ignorance, and subsequently he then manifested the four kumaras and put them in charge of the four knowledge gaining processes, which were jnana, tapas, vairagya and yoga, right? And these four, cultivation of knowledge, performing austerity, renunciation and yoga, are the four processes for getting transcendental knowledge. So therefore, even in the Satya Yuga, austerity was very much part of life. But not like Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga, anything is an austerity. To get up from bed is an austerity. To go to bed is another austerity. To take a bath is an austerity. Right? It is just always one part warm, another part cold. There is no way that in this world one can overcome all the austerities. And even if we create a little island, a little heavenly island, then the price we have to pay to get that little heavenly island is so much austerity. So then it's extended austerity. So in this way, there is no question of overcoming the disturbance of the material world. The very principle of tapas, which was the word that Lord Vishnu revealed to Brahma, right, reveals the nature of the material energy. It's not that just tapas was the particular instruction for Lord Brahma. No, tapas is actually the fundamental principle of the material world, austerity. Boy, is it an austere place, right? Austerity means to undergo trial and tribulation. Voluntarily, one accepts for purification. So all the trials and tribulation of the material world are for purification. And if one follows the path of the scripture, then the trials and tribulation is minimized. Right. And then whatever one does accept is not so extreme as the trials and tribulations of the hellish planets. If one doesn't follow any scriptures, then the trial and tribulation gets to a point where it gets bizarre. And then we get like Hieronymus Bosch type of pictures, you know, which I think are still the best illustrations of the hellish planets which have ever been made, right? If you really, personally, I don't think the ISKCON Yamadutas come close to what Boss did. You know, he definitely had a glance into another reality. Right? It was not ordinary, not imaginary. He saw. Right, and painted. So, There we can see exactly what is going on in the hellish planets. So this is a level of trouble which by far exceeds what we would have to go through if we are devotees. Therefore, but we cannot avoid it. We cannot avoid. Everyone must struggle. That is prakriti stani karsati. That is the material energy. One must always struggle in this material energy. Therefore, te nadapi sehi snuna mani namanade na kirtanya sadahari. One must be more tolerant than a tree and more humble than a straw in the street. Then it is possible, right? This is the principle. We are so humble that we say, okay, the straw in the street, whatever happens, right? People trample on me, sure. The wind will blow me here and there. All right, so be it, right? I will just go along. I will tolerate. More tolerant than a tree. I will not complain. So in this spirit, one can, this is the best position, because in that position, it is said, one can remember the glory of the holy name. It's a kirtanya sadahari. One can chant the holy name constantly. One can only chant the holy name constantly if one remembers the glory of the holy name. If one remembers nama chintamani krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha. If one remembers that the holy name is Krishna. And if with full faith that the holy name can bestow all mercy upon us. Only then can one develop the faith that yes, it is the holy name that will deliver me. And it is the holy name that will offer me all happiness. And it is the holy name that will set me free. It is the holy name that will improve this situation. It is all dependent on the holy name of the Lord. So this is really our life. Our life with the holy name. Somehow or other, this is the essence of what we are doing. We have to work on our relationship with the holy name. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement, that there are only two that are important in this entire universe. The holy name and the jiva. He says, that's the essence. The holy name and the jiva. And the relationship between the two is what it's all about. So when the jiva, Prabhupada says that one should serve the holy name. He said by serving the holy name will reveal itself. So serving the holy name means chanting, but also working for the glorification of the holy name. And if we get in this spirit of serving the holy name, then the holy name will reveal itself. And when the holy name reveals itself, right, then our knowledge is no longer theoretical. It is very nice to learn the Siksastikam, the prayers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nam Namakari Bahudani Chisarva Shaktis Tatarpitani Amitas Marane Nakala, Etadri Sita Vakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrisam Mihajani Nanuraga. That this holy name of the Lord, right, is none different from the Lord, and the Lord has invested all his transcendental energy in his name. And there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction. So it remains theoretical. But if actually we serve the holy name, then Prabhupada says, then the holy name will reveal itself. Because unless and until Krishna reveals himself, one can never see Krishna. Atasi Krishna namadina bhavat grayam indriye sevun mukhi jivado svayamme vaspuratyada. Krishna reveals himself when he is pleased with our devotional service. Sometimes Krishna is so generous. Sometimes Krishna is so demanding. Vachrat apikatura kusumat. Do you remember the last words? Kusumat, vachrat apikatura kusumat, and something else. That Krishna is hard like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose. So Krishna is like that. Sometimes so generous. He notices the slightest little bit of service. And yet, sometimes a devotee has to undergo the greatest austerity. It is said, any little bit of service, Krishna will reciprocate. He will never overlook some service. And yet, Narada Muni he performed great austerity. He did his meditation. He got the darshan of the Lord. And then the Lord disappeared and told him, "You will not see me anymore." He came back for a moment only to tell him, "You will not see me anymore this lifetime." Right? And Narada had to perform a whole life of service and separation in austerity before again he got the opportunity to see the Lord. So how much did he already surrender? And how much more was he tested? Bali Maharaj had surrendered everything. He had given all his possessions. Finally, he said to Vamanadev, "Put your third step on my head." And Vamanadev was not satisfied with all that surrender and tied him up in a snake noose. And Bali Maharaj was being suffocated there. He suffered like hell and he could not even breathe. Right? And he was getting weaker and pale, etc. Why was the Lord doing this after Bali had already surrendered? He kept on testing him further. So sometimes, Vajrat Apikatura, sometimes harder than a thunderbolt, and other times soft like a rose. That may be. And the Lord himself has his reasons. It is said that the spiritual path is the Anupalaksha Vartmane, or the Anupalaksha Vartmane is the inconceivable way. Right. That the Lord is Achinchakalu, Achinchakalu Natumstakina Yojayet. The Lord, we cannot understand always why the Lord is acting as he does. But tatinu kampam susamik samano bunjane vatmakritam vipakam ritvak papur bir pidadan namaste yomukti pade sadai bak. We are appreciating that whatever happens is the mercy of Krishna. And we know therefore that we accept it. Trinarapi sunichena tarurapi sahisnuna. And continue to chant somehow or other. And then we know that yomukti pade sadaya bhak, that we become the rightful heir of the mercy of the Lord. Such is the nature of Krishna. Krishna is suridam sarvadeinam, the well-wisher of all living beings. He is certainly our well-wisher. It is so important to understand how Krishna is our well-wisher. This is an essential element of developing love of God, to see Krishna as our well-wisher. If we don't see Krishna as our well-wisher, but if we are fearful of Krishna, because Krishna has also this punishing side, right, then how can we ever develop love of God? It will take time. Shutim apare smitim itare bharatamanye bhajanta bhava bitu aham iyam nandavanna yasya linda param brahma. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Raghupati Upajaya, a great devotee of the Lord, had composed this verse, and that he basically said that the majority of people are simply worshipping the Lord out of fear. Bhajanta Bhavabhita, out of fear. So one should not worship the Lord out of fear. That is the message of the Vaishnava Acharyas. One should understand that there is no need to fear the Lord. Out of fear of the Lord. Right? That fear of the Lord is something we're doing to ourselves. Right? For a devotee who is surrendered to the Lord, everything becomes auspicious. Everything becomes very favorable. In such a devotee, is not living in fear, but rather in ecstasy, is experiencing the constant kindness of the Lord, the constant mercy of the Lord. That is the nature of devotional service. Premamritam bunidi, an ocean of transcendental bliss. So, this is possible. Itam sastaya paratmanistam adyasitam purvatamir mahadbi aham tarizyanti durantaparam tamomugundam grinisevyeva. If we take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, who can carry us across the ocean of material nescience. And it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it so much easier to go across this ocean of material existence. Said even a child can do it, right? Even a child can swim across that ocean which is filled with the crocodiles of various speculative theories. And somehow or other that child will come across a crocodile-infested ocean. Who could ever swim across? So, Lord Chaitanya tries to encourage us again and again that we can do it, that really this process is meant for us, and that we should be brave, and that we should enter the ocean, that we should try to swim across, that we should not be afraid, well, if I surrender so much, maybe later on my material desires will jump on top of me and then I'll be in big trouble, because then I'll have given up my material security and then my material desires come back and hit me really hard and then I don't have my material security anymore. So how can I give it up? No. We should just go forward with courage. The scripture is calling for that again and again. Be brave, be bold, be courageous, go forward. Madhyam adhikari. This is kanista. The kanista adhikari is not going forward, hesitating. Prakriti bhakta, holding on to his material securities, right? Materialistic devotee. But the madhyam adhikari, the intermediate devotee, is brave and goes forward. And yes, it says in the scriptures, all right, I will follow, I will do whatever it says, right? I believe, I have faith, right? Firm faith. Therefore, such a Madhyam Adhikari is immediately accepted as an intimate devotee of the Lord, without a doubt. Such a Madhyam Adhikari is very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is personally making so many arrangements for his further purification. Right? And the Madhyam Adhikari certainly will feel the presence of Krishna very much in his life. The Kanista or the neophyte devotee who maintains his material securities and thinks, well, I don't know if I want to surrender so much to Krishna and give up my material little bit of security that I have so many things. Oh, it's not perfect, but it's not so bad. I'm not totally happy with it, that is a fact. But then again, I'm also not totally unhappy with it. So therefore, why would I give it up before I have something better? First give me something better, then I will give up. And Krishna says, no. First give up, then I will give you something better. And this argument goes on between Krishna and the Kanista Adhikari, who says, Krishna, first give me something better, then I'll give up material desires. And Krishna says, no, first give up your material desires, your material security, and then, you know, I will give you something better. Oh, Krishna, how can I do? Krishna, I have no faith. Oh, Krishna, I don't feel any strength. Oh, Krishna, how can I do it? Please, Krishna, give me strength. I don't have. You are the giver of strength. You give me strength. No, Krishna says, you must do this on your own strength. This is the strength that I've given to you, your minute independence. I have given you some strength, and that strength you have to use. This I cannot do for you. You do that, and then you'll get the strength. But you must cross this gap, otherwise you will not get the strength. This part you have to walk on your own. You have to do it, right? No one else. No one will carry you. Oh, I need more association. I don't have enough association. No, how can I surrender if I don't get the right association? No, even with the best association, you may not surrender. Because even devotees who were in the direct association of Srila Prabhupada did not surrender. What better association can you get? Right? They had the best, and yet they did not surrender because they did not give up their material security. So this we have to do. This is our decision. Anyone can do it, any time. One can do it on the first day that one comes to the temple and immediately go to a surrendered platform. And some people may not do it after 50 years. Right. It's up to us. And this will make the difference if we'll be a successful devotee who goes back to the spiritual world, or if we'll be one of the devotees who come back and take his birth in the aristocratic rich family and, or devotee family and all that. Ksenia Purchamarcha Lokam Pichanti, go up to the heavenly planets, come back down, and all these kind of things. It all depends on us. Right? We have been given the choice by the Supreme Lord to make our own destiny. Any questions? Any comments? Then he'll get the benefits of those 5 years and no more. Surrender is, I spoke of the surrender of the Madhyamadikari. So the Madhyamadikari, he surrenders to the superior instruction of Krishna. But that does not mean that within his heart there are no material desires. But he is ready to ignore them. He's ready to overlook them. One cannot just like that come to the Uttama Adhikari platform. Right? One cannot change the conditioned state of one's heart. Only by special mercy of the Lord, by Kripa Siddha, can one immediately come to the Uttama Adhikari platform. Like the son of Maharaj Prataparuda, who was sent as a messenger to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and immediately he just became uplifted to the topmost platform of pure devotional service, tears from his eyes, love of God everywhere. And he went back to his father and embraced his father, and then his father also got symptoms of love of God. So it is possible in one moment by special mercy to come to the Uttama Adhikari stage, but normally no. So I was talking about surrendering as a Madhyamadikari, and which means to live with one's material desires, but to understand that they are useless, that it's just a mistake to invest energy into them. And therefore such a Madhyamadikari surrenders. If after 5 years he stops surrendering, right, then he will fall down. Yeah. Surrender must be done all the time. Surrender means non-stop, every moment, again and again. One can never rest on his laurels and say, I've already surrendered for 25 years, my silver jubilee, right? I'll have a celebration now, silver jubilee of surrender, right? A big party. So now I can have a vacation. I can go. I can retire. There's no retirement from surrender. Never. That's material. Work hard and then retire. Do nothing and enjoy, the fruits of all these years of hard work. No such thing. There's no retirement. It just goes on. The surrender. Sometimes it's heavier and sometimes it's easier. Yes. Yes, it is. And, but it doesn't change our position. We are still constitutionally the eternal servant of Krishna. What can I do when it gets heavy? Right? when I lose everything I have, everything that's dear to me gets pretty heavy, right? When even my body breaks down, right? Lose my health also, cannot do anything anymore. When I lose everything, what can I do? My constitutional position is still the same, still the eternal servant of Krishna, no matter what happens. Therefore, my duty is still the same. Never changes. See? Eternal servant of Krishna. And all can, heavy or not heavy. I also don't like it when it gets heavy. I'd rather have it sweet, you know. Lots of sweet only, right? Just like a kid, you know, wants to eat only sweet. But it's not like that, right? There's bitter also. Salty, spicy, hot. Yeah. It happens. And Kali Yuga is heavy. It's just a heavy time. You know, so many heavy things are going on. And so many heavy places. So many heavy people. Yeah. Poof, so heavy. Yeah. The age of quarrel. Yeah. Kali Yuga. So that's heavy. All this fighting everywhere. It's like, leave me alone. Yeah. But there is no peace. Right? Doesn't exist. Maybe you're in Maya. You could be when we are then thinking, oh well now, we may be tempted to fall into Maya when the circumstances get very pleasurable. Then we may be thinking, well, you know, now it's so nice, let me just enjoy a little, and you know, we may get carried away. But yes, I'm so happy actually with all this. So then we are in Maya. Bhagavad Gita points out that the self-realized soul is neither concerned with distress nor with happiness in the material world. Yeah. He remains equipoised, both in happiness and distress. So it's like, it's for a materialist, it sounds like equipoised in happiness, you know? Why can't you just be happy? So yeah, well, what's the point of being so happy about something that's already doomed? Like 2 days ago I said it, you know, what about having a great party, but at the end everyone gets shot? Everyone. You can celebrate as much as you like, have a great time, but after the end, I'm sorry, you know, but at the end of the party, there is an execution, right? Unfortunately, everyone has to die. Oh, we have a few different varieties, you know, some will be executed through electrocution, others will be shot, again, a few others will be drowned, crushed, or some others will get a deadly virus, right? But at the end of the party, everyone's got to go, right? Have a good time. Let's get into it. Come on, you know, let's get into the party. Some people, they go totally for the party, you know, like anything. But there are a few sitting there thinking like, well, I don't know about this party, you know, I really don't know. To me, this is a weird party, you know, and I don't really feel like partying it up if at the end all of us got to go. Right? So, therefore, if we totally get in the mood of having the party, then we are in Maya. Okay. Sold. He asks questions like he's bidding on a Rembrandt. It's true that Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement and started the Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole, Kota Nida Jayamaya, Pisa Chiyo Kula. He started loud Sankirtan to wake up the sleeping conditioned souls who had for so long been sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya. And of course, they didn't want to be woken up, right? Some people really hate it when you wake them up. So not everyone wants to be woken up by the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Chaitanya kind of showed us that to some extent, we must disturb the ignorance. So one should not read this verse of Bhagavad Gita thinking that one should not at all disturb the ignorance. But one should take this verse to mean that after we have given Krishna consciousness to a person, right, then we should enthuse him on his own level, and we should not demand him to perform on a level that is more advanced than what he can handle. That's what the verse means. But those who are outside of Krishna consciousness, we have to disturb them. We have to somehow or other make them take to Krishna consciousness. But once they've taken up the process, then we must have some consideration for a person's level of advancement. Although sometimes the spiritual master may push, but he does that with expertise, and he doesn't push so much that the neophyte devotee gets pushed into performance beyond his ability and then falls down or leaves frustrated and all these things. So that's the meaning of that verse. Yeah.
This one is a joking question.
Joking question.
So you said that in Kali Yuga is everything.
I couldn't hear.
In Kali Yuga everything is austerity.
Austerity.
Everything.
Does
it just mean that Kali Yuga is better for austerity?
It's the best. It's the best. But there is one problem. It is said that in Kali Yuga, the capacity for austerity in man has already broken down. So it's the best age for austerity. You couldn't get a more austere age than Kali Yuga. But the only problem is that our capacity to perform it is less than ever. And therefore, we are more disturbed than ever. Therefore, we're always agitated because we can't handle any austerity. We've lost that. It's one of the legs that is broken of the Buddha Dharma. Well, it is, there is a risk, you know. I mean, we see that for devotees who, like Hawaii is a difficult place for devotees. You know, it's tough. You know, it's like Madhu Gopal was saying that Rio de Janeiro is a tough place for a brahmachari. And with that, he repeated a statement of Hiridayananda Maharaj, who said, if you can be a brahmachari for 5 years in Rio de Janeiro, you're ready for sannyas. Right? Copacabana. Is it tough place? So there are differences, obviously. I mean, we experience that as soon as we go to the Holy Dham. You feel how so much relief is there. And because all that sex that is constantly pushed upon us by the environment that we live in the West, in the modern world, right? Constantly bombarded with sex, sex, sex in so many forms, right? Immediately it is less, so much less in the Holy Dham. And you can just feel it. It's a relief. It's just like, phew, you know, haha. Wow, we can relax here, you know, a little. Huh? It's like, here you always have to fight the current, you know. You always have to just resist. Because there is so much to subtly agitate the mind. Subtly and grossly agitate the mind. Any possible way they can agitate the mind, they'll try. Right. And we have to resist that. So it's a bit of a struggle, actually, a bit of a fight. And you notice when you go to the Holy Dham that it's just peaceful in that way. Very peaceful, very nice. Whew, what austerity in this age has to be performed. Physical, mental, too much. Living in an ocean of sin, trying to be pure. Fortunately, we have the most powerful process. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. The holy name and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Katanchana smite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet, who even makes it possible for us to do the most difficult things and makes them easy. That's Lord Chaitanya. Makes difficult things easy. Huh? You cannot see the what? The words I cannot hear. Hum. I cannot see the hum. What is the hum? How? Lord Chaitanya minimizes the affliction of lust. Lust would get us a million times worse if Lord Chaitanya would not somehow or other cool it down. It is Lord Nityananda. Nitai padakamalam koti chandra susita ye chayai jagat jurai. It is the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda that cool down the agitated hearts. Diba nisahiya jwala, day and night the fire is burning, Naratanda Thakur says. But Lord Nityananda cools down that burning fire. No doubt, in our hearts. Can you imagine how it would be burning if there would be no mercy of Lord Nityananda? Yeah. We would be totally driven. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we would be totally driven by our passions in this world. But because of Lord Nityananda, our passions cool down to the point that we can at least get a hold on them with our intelligence, which otherwise seemed impossible. Goranga. The love affair in the spiritual world is with Krishna. Everything in the spiritual world has only meaning in relation to Krishna. Now, in the spiritual world, there may be also devotees who are married and who serve Krishna together, but that marriage is not like a marriage in the material world. It's totally a spiritual affair. It is totally dedicated to Krishna and really has no other purpose. There's not... no sense gratification. So that is the freedom. It is sense gratification where we are trying to enjoy our own senses that enslaves us. And as long as we are engaging in sense gratification, we are caught up in karma bandhana. We are walking in shackles, in the fetters of material existence, isn't it? These are the words they use. Shackles, fetters, chains, chained up. Right, caught up, tied up in ropes, the three gunas, the word guna sometimes translated as rope. So this is karma bandhana. As long as we are trying to enjoy our senses, karma bandhana is the result. So durena hi avaram karma, we should remain far removed from these kind of activities. So now we must live a life of duty. And then that life of duty will liberate us, will set us free. That is the Nivritti mark, the path of material cessation. Once material life has entered, then we enter in, has ended, then we enter into Antaranga Seva, the internal service, the confidential service of the Lord, where we become one of the Parisad, one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, in his eternal pleasure pastimes. Then we get transcendental spiritual bodies. Then we become empowered to have a full satisfying experience instead of what Prabhupada quotes the poet Vijayapati again and again, who says that happiness in the material world is nothing but a drop in the desert. A drop of water in the desert. Yeah, but the need for the marriage is the ras. The need for the marriage is to provide for Krishna so that there can be family relationships and all that. Yeah, that's the only need. So there's no need for a marriage that, you know, two people need to get married in the spiritual world, you know, because they just feel, well, I really feel I need to get married. No, it's not like that, but it's for Krishna. So to provide like parents for Krishna. Yeah, that's the whole idea. No other reason. Yes.
But still, except in a direct relation to Krishna, there are also relations between devotees.
But Krishna is always the center.
He's always the center, but there, I think, I mean, friendship and
yeah.
They communicate, they, it's not that they just separate
no.
each other, that every devotee is in his own bubble. And then they just serve Krishna and they don't see each other.
No, they are just together. They're very much together, serving Krishna together. Everything is shared. And just as Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they are all sharing everything together. Even the most intimate things are not happening privately at all. Right? Even the most intimate exchanges between Radha and Krishna, there are so many gopis and other devotees who are present there and are fully following all the intimate exchanges. It's not like here in the spiritual world, you know, like there is in the material world. There is a certain level where it gets too intimate and then, you know, everybody out, you know, and now it's only between us kind of thing, you know. No, it's not like that in the spiritual world. It is like the devotees have very open relationships. But Krishna is the only theme, right, in any relationship. Krishna is the only discussion topic. Service to Krishna is the only activity. If there's any place to go to, it's to Krishna. Right? The devotees, if there's anything, any direction to look, it's to look in the direction where Krishna is. Yeah, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Krishna goes through the forest, that all the residents of Vrindavan who remained behind were looking in one direction. Even the trees were pointing in that direction. Everything was just looking in that direction, the direction where Krishna went. Only Krishna. When Krishna goes through the forest, those who cannot go physically go with him in their mind. Yeah.
But what is happening in Mathura?
Where?
In Mathura.
In Mathura. That's a little bit on the outer peripheries of Golok. Kamsa is there. In Mathura, there is more distance. Because in Mathura, Krishna is the sun of Vasudeva and Devaki. So in Mathura, Krishna is a prince. So as such, Krishna is not so much available to anyone and everyone as he is like in Vrindavan. You can't just talk to Krishna in Mathura and he's never alone. He's surrounded by all kinds of assistants. Of course, Krishna doesn't stay in Mathura. He goes on to Dwarka. Right? And there he stays in Dwarka. And in Dwarka, Krishna lives in all opulence, along with all his councils, ministers, generals, and everything, like a king, right, in great royal opulence. So that's more distant than Krishna. But they're the same thing. Everyone, every devotee in Dwarka and Mathura is also always thinking of Krishna, always. And they're only talking about Krishna altogether.
And in Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, it's also the same, just everyone is...
Lord Chaitanya. It's just Lord Chaitanya.
In the spiritual
world? Lord Chaitanya. And some devotees are in both the pastimes. Don't ask me how, but they are. Some are simultaneously in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Many people are very nice. Not everyone in the Holy Dham is so exalted. There are also low-class people. There are low-class people who swear, but still they're Krishna conscious. Right? There are low-class people who steal, but still they're devotees of Krishna. Right? So like that, that's the one feature of Vrindavan, is that you will see that you have the same kind of people you have everywhere, all the different layers of society, from the people in the higher modes to the lower modes. But in Vrindavan, they're all connected to Krishna somehow or other. They're all, when it boils down to it, they are devotees of Krishna. That's Vrindavan. But it doesn't mean that you don't have the lower class people. You do. You do. But in general, there are many exalted people, because the nature of being a devotee of Krishna is that one automatically comes to the mode of goodness. Tadara jastamo bhavakamalo bhriyaschaye. Patitam sabbapasidati. But still, we see that there are sweepers, right, who are not high class people. We see there are criminals, gundas, right, who are just robbing people. And still they're Krishna conscious. Right. So, inconceivable sometimes. But yet, just like that. They have a tremendous attachment to Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, they have Krishna as their own spiritual master. Of course, not everyone in Vrindavan will go back to the spiritual world. Some will become monkeys. Those who misbehave in Vrindavan will become monkeys in the next life. So, you know, all those things may also be going on. But it is not our business, Prabhupada said, to get very intimate with the residents of Vrindavan. It's actually not Prabhupada who said that, it's actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who said it and Prabhupada who repeated it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagadananda, when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, that one should not mix very intimately with the residents of Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada repeated that instruction and explained it also, that we should not do so, because they have another type of relationship with Krishna. Krishna acts directly as their spiritual master. Whereas for us it's not like that. Yeah. Anartas.
Yes, it's actually much more difficult to deal with.
Yes, maybe. Yeah, so, you know, that is true. We have influences from this life, from previous lives, and all these things can disturb and agitate the mind. Therefore, the only means to really deal with it is devotional service. Because the process of devotional service takes all its inauspiciousness away from the heart. So all the seeds of sinful reactions that are stored in the heart will be removed by the process of devotional service. So it's the only way. Only way. And then particularly in this age, accompanied with the chanting of the holy name. Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Nasteva Gatiranyata. The only way. Chanting of the holy name. So we must chant every day very nicely our minimum prescribed number of rounds and then do devotional service. Then we'll gradually get rid of all these disturbing factors. We will become transcendental, above disturbance, which is the idea of Krishna consciousness. Take some time. All right, I think I'll stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.